I suppose that one thing that most all of us would admit to is that we are weak. That from time to time, our weakness becomes known, perhaps to others, but if not to others, most certainly to ourselves. We know ourselves best of all, and we know of our weaknesses. And it might be a surprise to some who are not as familiar with the life of the Apostle Paul. It might be a surprise to know that he discussed weaknesses and discussed his weaknesses. And we probably have in some ways a distorted view of men like Paul and Peter and Matthew and others that served as apostles. We may have kind of a superhuman concept of these individuals, but they of course were not that, and they faced many of the same trials and difficulties that we do. Well, the Apostle Paul acknowledges the existence in his life of certain weaknesses in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And I'd like to use that passage this evening to talk to you for a few moments about our weaknesses, about when I am weak. But first of all, we ought to talk a little bit about Paul's weaknesses that he makes reference to in this text in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. He says in the 7th verse that because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, to keep me from exalting myself. Here Paul makes reference to the exalted revelations that he was privileged to make as an apostle. And in order to prevent him from exalting himself above what he should have, he says there was given this thorn in the flesh, which, by the way, he attributes to Satan and connects to Satan. But this was done, he says, to keep him from over-exalting himself in his view. So he dealt with these difficulties, with this thorn in the flesh. Exactly what it was, we don't know for sure. Some have suggested it's a physical illness that Paul makes reference to in other places, and that could very well be. Others suggest that it has to do more with the persecutions and the difficulties that Paul faced with his preaching, and that may be borne out in this context. If you'll read on, he says, "Concerning this, that is concerning this thorn in the flesh, I entreated the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. He said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses, that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am well content with weaknesses, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong.'" Paul not only acknowledges this thorn in the flesh, not only identifies it as being associated with Satan, but he says that it did achieve a purpose that God had. It kept him from over exalting himself in his own eyes, and it made him content, he says, with these weaknesses. That is, he was enabled because of this view that he had now. He was able to endure these weaknesses and permit them to achieve that which they were intended to achieve. Verse 10 is the verse that I think probably is the verse that most people would look at as being an indicator of what this thorn in the flesh was. When he has called it a weakness, he has said that power, God told him that power is perfected in weakness. That is, God's power through Paul would be demonstrated through his being able to overcome these weaknesses. But then he says that so I'm content with the weaknesses. You know, God's answer to his prayer was no, I'm not going to remove this from you. It has a purpose. And so Paul says, I'm content with it. Then notice the things he mentions. Insults and distresses and persecutions and difficulties. It may very well be that these are the identifications of this thorn in the flesh, and that it was the insults and the persecutions and the difficulties and the hardships that Paul had to endure, particularly from Jewish opponents, as he went about preaching the gospel. Now, one thing that we need to understand is that when Paul writes about these weaknesses, he's not writing about moral weaknesses. We're going to talk about some of those tonight, but he's not talking about moral weaknesses that he has fallen prey to. He prayed that he might be able to be delivered from these things. God's answer was no. Do you really think God's answer to a prayer to be delivered from moral weaknesses is going to be no? Well, no. God's not going to going to deny that to any of his children. So Paul has to be talking about something other than sinful activities, moral weaknesses. He's discussing, it seems to me, these distresses and persecutions and difficulties, that these were the things that he had to face so much in the course of his preaching. He prayed to be relieved from them, and the Lord's answer was, no, I have a purpose in these things, a purpose that benefits you. And he intended to demonstrate his ability to empower his children to overcome difficulties that they might face. And in doing this, then power would be perfected in weakness. Now that's just a very, very general thought about Paul's weaknesses. But what I want to talk to you tonight about is my weaknesses and your weaknesses. It may very well be that we face some similar kinds of weaknesses as Paul has in mind when he discusses here the difficulties and the insults and the distresses that he faced as a result of preaching the gospel. If you stand loyally with the gospel, if you convey to other people the teachings of the gospel, you're very likely going to face, at some point in time, insults and distresses and hardships and persecutions. So I mean, we could very well have to face the same kinds of weaknesses that Paul speaks of here. I want to spend our time, however, this evening talking about the kinds of weaknesses that we sometimes encounter in our lives, and I think probably the kinds of weaknesses that we generally think of when we think about our weaknesses. Our weaknesses are sometimes manifested in the moral failures that we are guilty of on occasions. We've heard, I'm sure, the saying that sin takes you farther than you want to go, keeps you longer than you want to stay, it costs you more than you intended to pay. Sin, or moral failures on our part, certainly will be a demonstration of our weakness. So we may encounter weakness as well when the Lord urges us, for instance, in Matthew chapter 6, toward prayer, toward confidence in prayer to Him, and yet we still seem to struggle, do we not, with worry and fret, even though He urges us not to be anxious. Yet, nonetheless, we sometimes can be overwrought with anxiousness. That's a demonstration of a weakness in our lives. A weakness in our spiritual lives can be manifested as well as a weakness of faith. A failure to have an absolute, complete trust in God's ways. And whatever it is that God has directed us to do through His Word, we can sometimes lose confidence in that. I think of the admonition to preach the gospel. We've got that stated over and over again in the New Testament, that the gospel is what we must place our confidence in. That's what we must give our efforts to preaching and declaring. But I think sometimes we see evidence that, brethren lose confidence in that gospel. And they begin to think, that just doesn't have the appeal that it maybe at one time did. And so what we're going to need to do is we're going to need to find some way of increasing the appeal that we might have as a group here, increasing the appeal to others. We've got to find some way to get people to come and then we can talk to them about the gospel. But we've got to get them in first. We've got to... And the fact of the matter is that what the Scriptures indicate to us is the only thing that those Christians of the New Testament ever appealed to was the gospel, in order to get people to listen to what they had to say. But sometimes maybe it's because of a weakness in faith, folks lose that kind of confidence. Diligence, and sometimes we have a weakness manifest itself in our diligence, our diligence of growing in knowledge, for instance. You ever struggle with being committed to the Bible classes that you're a part of? Being prepared for Bible classes? You ever struggle with attendance and being at services on a regular basis? Those are ways in which perhaps our diligence is marked. And we may see in that some indicators of a weakness. Conviction can sometimes be another area where we begin to experience weakness of faith. Perhaps you'll remember Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1, and the admonition that the Hebrew writer gives there, to pay close attention to the things that we've heard, lest we drift away from them. It's possible for us to drift away from things that we have heard, maybe almost all of our lives, things that we have believed for many, many years, and we may, because of a weakness that grows in our convictions, we may find ourselves one day rejecting the things that we once had believed. There are just many, many ways that we could talk about weaknesses. And I hasten to add again that this is something different from what the Apostle Paul was writing about there in 2 Corinthians 12. But nonetheless, in our weaknesses, like Paul in the weaknesses he discussed, we too can grow strong. Like Paul's weaknesses, in which strength was perfected, when we encounter weaknesses of the type that we're more familiar with, even in those weaknesses, or out of those weaknesses, I should say, we can grow strong. And that's what I want to talk to you about in our time that remains for our study. That is how we can be strengthened. We can be strengthened by God's Word. If you're dealing with some aspect of weakness in your life, be it moral or in your prayers, or be it in your faith or your diligence or your conviction, I want to tell you that the first place that you need to go in order to find strength out of that weakness, the first place you need to go is to God's Word. In Acts, the second chapter, and in the 42nd verse, you find where Luke records that they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. This was a description, of course, of the early church, the Jerusalem church, and how after their conversion, what they did. And I think it's instructive that what they did was that they devoted themselves. To what? They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship. What I'm suggesting to you is this, that the place for you and for me to find a strengthening in areas where we are experiencing weakness, the place for us to find that is solely in God's Word. That's the reason the Apostle Peter would later write in 1 Peter chapter 2 and the opening verses. He would write this familiar admonition regarding God's Word. He says, putting aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisy and envy and all slander, like newborn babes, long for the pure milk of the Word, that by it you may grow in respect to salvation, if you've tasted the kindness of the Lord. Like newborn babes, desire, long for that milk that is the Word, that by it you may grow. So, here's the first thing that you and I need to do. When we encounter weakness in our life, we need to go to God's Word and find in it the instruction that will help us to increase in our strength. But now there's another element that we can rely upon in the way of strengthening and growing stronger out of weaknesses. That is God's people. We can rely upon God's people. Turn over, if you would, to Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22 and verses 31 and 32. This is Jesus is speaking to Simon Peter, and he says, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded permission to sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail, and that when you once you turned again, strengthen your brothers." It's interesting that in his discussion here with Peter about Satan's desires and intentions, that Jesus tells Peter that he's going to fall into a certain set of circumstances in which he's going to have to turn. He says, when you have turned. So, I mean, this is no small, unimportant set of circumstances that Peter is going to encounter. But he says, when you have turned again, what does he give him to do? He gives him a charge. Strengthen your brothers. You go and see to the care of the needs of your brethren. That's what the Lord gave us one another for. He gave us one another for the encouragement and the building up. That's why Galatians 6, verse 1, and the Apostle Paul writes about the responsibility of those that are spiritual towards others who have been overcome in a fault. And there are just many, many ways in which this is accomplished. And just in our association with one another, the hospitable way that we have to opportunities to treat one another, and to offer encouragement in our times spent together. You know, I think probably one of the it must be, and I'm speaking here on an assumption, but it must be for elders. One of the most difficult things to have to deal with is the notion that I believe I've seen from time to time among brethren that when the elders tell someone, you know, we'd like to meet with you, we'd like to talk with you, and the immediate response is, what do we do wrong? You know, that the only way that the elders would want to meet with me and talk with me is in order to deal with something wrong. Well, it may not be that at all. They may want to encourage you. They may want to thank you. You don't know. But even if it is something that is amiss in my life, what do I want them to do? Well, I'll tell you what I think a lot of times what we want them to do, we want them to ignore it. We don't want them to deal with it. But yet, that's one of the very sources of strengthening that we have at our disposal. Those that oversee our souls, that are looking out for our welfare. Or it could be a preacher. You know, a lot of times we get upset men who get up and preach, and they preach about something that relates directly to me. Let me ask you this. What do you want the people who get up here to preach about? Well, I'll tell you what we sometimes want them to preach about. We want them to preach about anything that doesn't relate to me. But that's exactly what preachers are charged with doing, is dealing with subjects that relate directly to the members and to the well-being of the members. What do you want your Bible class teachers to teach you about? Well, I'm just afraid that a lot of times what we don't want is for them to teach about subjects that kind of hit home, that have that direct personal application to myself. But that's one of the tools by which we grow strong out of our weakness. It is by the encouragement that we receive from God's people. I'll tell you a third thing that sometimes will help us grow strong out of our weaknesses and become strong. It's what I'm calling just wake-up calls. Things that happen that you know, just kind of shake us up, get our attention in life. It may be an illness, it may be death in the family, it may be some tragic occurrence that happens to us individually or to our family or to our nation. It can be any number of things. Now, let me say this to you. What I'm talking about are things that, not necessarily things that God brings on us, but rather things that God uses in order to help us grow strong out of our weaknesses. What do we do when the alarm goes off in the morning? I think probably a lot of us reach over and hit the snooze alarm, don't we? Or the snooze button, whatever you call it. And we can do exactly the same thing with the quote-unquote wake-up calls of life. We can just reach over and hit the snooze button and sleep right on. And if that's what we do, we're not going to grow stronger out of the weaknesses that we are encountering. And the final thing that I want to say to you is that worship periods like this are another tool by which we grow strong out of our weaknesses. The admonition that you're familiar with in Hebrews 10 and verse 25 of not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together is a good passage. It's a good admonition to us. And I don't know if we appreciate just exactly how significant periods like this really are to us in our lives and in our growing stronger. I'm just persuaded these periods together have a cumulative effect. And it's easy a lot of times to overlook that which is cumulative because it's taking place over an extended period of time. You've probably heard this story before. A fellow had written a newspaper article, something in which he had said some things favorable about religion. And the next week in the paper, a reader who took exception to what this man was saying had written in. And in this reader's letter, he made this observation that for 30 years he had been taken to church services. And throughout all of his childhood and through his youth, practice in his family had been to attend church. And his observation was that looking back upon all of the sermons that he had heard preached in that period of time, that he could not recall any single particular sermon that was preached, nor could he say that they had had any effect upon his life. That his conclusion, therefore, was that religion was just a gigantic waste of time. The following week, there was another letter from a reader who made this observation. that he had lived in his parents' home for many years, and that every day he had eaten three meals prepared by his mother. And while he could not now give the menu of any particular meal that he had had prepared by his mother, he was reasonably sure that over the course of those many years, that the regular eating of those meals had done great good for him. It was a cumulative effect. And that's precisely what we find the Scriptures providing for us in the admonition to gather together on occasions such as this. It is to draw from our worship of God together the good benefits that will enable us not only to worship our God, but it will enable us as well to grow stronger. I don't know if you're dealing with weaknesses. I suspect you are, of some sort, some degree, from time to time. What the Lord has provided for us is a way to grow strong out of them. Are you following Him? Are you living for Him? If you're not, why don't you begin to do so tonight by coming to Him in obedience to His gospel as we stand and sing.